Hey, welcome to today's show of the Hive With Us podcast. I have a special guest, Mr. Raymond Scholseth. He's been an investor for 30 years, which is hopefully I'll get there one day, but we're excited to have a special guest. He's also a podcast host of the Agent Podcast, and we're talking a little bit about everything today, so I hope you stay tuned and enjoy the episode.
This show is sponsored by HiveMind CRM. It is more than just a CRM. It is a real estate and business mastermind that comes with an all-in-one CRM. You can have unlimited websites and users. You can call, text, RVM, and email all-in-one user interface. And you can set up custom automations for any type and multiple businesses. 65% of companies start using a CRM system within the first 5 years of business. Once implemented, the HiveMind will save you on marketing, give you more time, and make more money. One of our users had his first $100,000 month using our system in June. We want to see you automate and accelerate your business. Text us at 210-972-1842 for future meetings and, of course, to get our $1 course on how to make more than six figures on one land deal. You can schedule your free demo today at HiveMindCRM.io.
Where are we talking from, Raymond? What part of the country are you from?
Hey, Daniel. Chicago, Illinois, my friend.
Chicago, Illinois. I grew up inside Hammond for 22 years, which whenever I tell people that, like, well, that's Indiana, isn't that? Well, Chicago is massive, and technically it stretches from – it almost touches, like, Wisconsin because, like, the top part of Chicago, literally the northern suburbs of Chicago would literally reach all the way up to the northern part of Wisconsin.
Yeah, so, and I grew up in Los Angeles, California for 38 years, man. So, you know, here we are switching roles.
Yeah, I like Chicago. One thing I miss about Chicago is the food. Chicago food is amazing.
It's got a good food scene, dude. 100%.
And it's so diverse too. So diverse. Yeah. You can get any type of genre food. Yep. Or any type of ethnicity food, and it's all amazing. I do miss that. I used to work off of Cicero. I used to work night shift, and when I first started there, like, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and one of my buddies left for lunch break, and he comes back with, like, a hot burrito. I'm like, dude, where did you go? It is 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm starving.
Did you go to El Presidente?
It was called El Fierro or something. It was off of Cicero, mm-hmm. and like 45th or something like that. I forget. It's been years since I worked in Cicero. I can't even remember how to get there if you asked me to, but it was so long ago, and like, I remember, like, where the heck are you getting hot food at 3 o'clock in the morning? Like, only in Chicago and only in big cities like that. It's such a cool place. Like I said, I do miss the food, and it's such a broad, vast city. It's huge. Yeah,
it is. I agree.
So 30 years in the business. Did you start real estate in LA, or you've always been kind of all over the place?
Yeah, I started when I was 19. I bought my first foreclosure, which was a condo in Thousand Oaks, California.
Wow.
Yeah, bought it for 65 grand. The building, the HOA was in a lawsuit with the contractor because the stairways and the decks/porches were falling off of the building. And I'll never forget, man, like, I climbed up to this unit that was being used by the general contractor as an office. So you can imagine what a disaster it was. 2-bedroom, 1.5 bath, you know, kitchen, deck. And I climbed up on a ladder to check it out. And walk through, and I'm like, yeah, like, I'll take it. This is amazing. I put 10 grand into it, did all the work myself, lived there for 5 years, sold it for like 300 grand, bought two houses, one I lived in, one I rented. And that was my start in the real estate investing business.
What's very cool is that you started at 19. I started at 19, but I started at 25. And I think for everybody listening here, the earlier you start, the vast experience and knowledge you get is insane. Because I can't even imagine 30 years right now of me doing what I do for 30 years.
It's subjective though, right? Like, there were so many distractions that took me away from the business.
Okay.
And I wish I would have had the insight I now have to just focus and buy and hold. But that's not what happened.
Well, I think it's like an age thing too. Like, when you're young,
100%,
you're young and dumb. And when you get older, you're wiser. And like you said, the gray hairs on the head, they add up, they make you wiser. So the decisions you make as a young person. So let's kind of ask this question. So, and I think you kind of answered it too, but what was maybe two things you would tell your younger self starting at 19 that you think would change the trajectory and hopefully a higher trajectory that you would tell that young person right now?
Yeah, two things. Number one, buy and hold. You can upgrade as you go. That's fine, right? Maybe you acquire three single family homes and you get rid of them to get a six or eightplex or 10plex, whatever. But I would upgrade or hold, buy and hold. That's number one. Number two, I would have gotten onto what I call the front side of real estate a lot sooner, right? Meaning been a licensed agent, start doing a lot more deals and went way deeper in the real estate business.
Okay. And by that saying, you kind of stayed on the, you got distracted when you're younger and that's where you're like, if you had dug a little bit deeper.
So the majority of my career, I was a product creator, right? Okay. For 30 years, all I did was build products. LED lighting, automotive products, cabinetry for real estate investment trusts and multifamily, consumer electronics, products for all the big box retailers, Target, Best Buy, Costco, all of those guys. Spent a lot of time in China going back and forth, bringing products, branding products, selling products.
So you've always been in real estate, but never delve 100% in. When did you dive 100% in?
COVID, 3 years ago.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Yep. Is interesting. See, I didn't know this. This is good insight.
Well, I was always on the back end as an investor, right? So I've been in and out of a lot of transactions in seven different states throughout the US through syndications, joint ventures,
yeah,
you know, partnerships, whatever, but never just like all focused in. And today my trajectory is completely different than what it was even 3 years ago.
I see what you mean now. It's always been this is where like I tell people all the time, go full-time investing and see what happens, because most people do it as a part-time thing. Yep. Where they're just going to invest and do that, create a good ROI thing. And I'm like, you'd be surprised at what you can do with 2 to 5 years of full-time investing versus just doing it part-time for 10.
Well, and that's what's interesting. I think that was a big game changer for me, is really looking out 10 years of what am I trying to do?
Yeah.
Right. So for now, I'm like, okay, my wife and I are building a team here in Chicago. And then I have the podcast and the books that I'm writing to help real estate professionals, real estate agents. And then I'm building a huge multi-family portfolio over the next 10 years. So now I'm all in. This is all I'm doing is real estate. And it feels different. It is different, right? It's not passive, it's active. And that's the difference.
It's very, very active. And it's such a different model, because like, I mess with people on Twitter all the time, because people are always like, dividends, investment. They grew their payment 10% over the annual. I'm like, just active invest. Like, it's crazy what your perspective will change. You're like, dividends are cool, but they're for rich people.
I mean, it's perspective, but it's time in the market in real estate versus timing the market. Like, if I'll never forget, man, like in 2005, I bought a house for like 700 grand in Southern California.
Okay.
That house, not too much before then, when it was built in the late 90s, was like 200 grand, right? Yeah. So then I ended up holding on to that house. I sold it in, I think, 2014 or 15 for like 600 grand. I didn't lose money because I had put a big down payment and stuff down.
Yeah.
But I didn't necessarily make money either, but I had rented it out for a while after I moved out of the state. And then I looked up that house recently, like a month and a half ago, and it was like 1.5 or 1.05 million. I was like, what? Like, that's crazy. It's 2,000 square feet, right? But that is the power of time in the market. So it doesn't always matter what it costs. It's how long are you willing to hold it?
So I was in a meeting recently, a real estate meeting. And he's like, no matter if you buy a deal wrong, if you hold it long enough, you'll be right.
100%, man. I agree with that statement.
And as crazy as that seems, but like, you still might negative ROI, but if you can afford to hold it long enough, you'll still win. And that's how real estate is. It's such a crazy thought process. Because I'm like, in my head, I'm an ROI person. So I'm like, he probably got like 5% ROI, but he got 5% ROI. And it took him a while to get positive, but he ended up being positive eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if you can hold, man, if you can just suck it up, you'll be fine eventually.
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 The rent rates will balance out and over, and I think entrepreneurship's like that as a whole too, it's a survivor game. If you can survive long enough, you'll get there. And most people can't survive.
Yeah. 100%.
So let's talk about, I didn't know you're writing books. So let's talk about the books. How many have you written? How many are you working on? And if they're released, when they're
released? I've written one called The Startup Agent.
I see it. It's on your left corner too.
It's over the corner. That book's doing great on Amazon. That was my first book published with my co-author and good buddy, Walter Key. I'm currently writing two more books right now. One of them is called The Agent Operating System, and it's basically a daily discipline for real estate agents. And the second one that'll be released this year is called Prospecting for Your Personality Type. And that is exactly what the title is. It's about prospecting and lead generation for you based on your personality so that you will show up and actually do the work.
That's such an underrated topic, because a lot of people, they need to target based off of what they're good at, like 100%.
Well, there's how many coaches are out there, right? Like, oh, just go door knock or go cold call or go do this. And not everyone's a fit for that.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't mean they couldn't learn it or even that they shouldn't learn it if they want to grow. But what I have found in all of these years of failures and successes is that if you tell somebody to go do something they don't want to do, they're not going to do it.
There's no motivation.
There's just nothing, right? Like they have to want to be able to, they have to show up and do the work. Like, if you're a business owner, why do you need an accountability coach? You should be accountable to yourself. You're a business owner. Show up and do the work, right? Like if you're choosing to be self-employed or a business owner, an entrepreneur, there shouldn't be more motivation than you got to show up to do the work. Whether you have one employee, that's you, your best employee, or you have 500, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. The being self-motivated, it's not for, I mean, not everybody has that. And if your weakness is self-motivation, you might need a self-motivation coach.
I mean, I'm not a believer in motivation, right? Like you're either disciplined and driven or you're not. So how bad do you want it? Like if someone's got to motivate you, I don't know that that's going to happen. It might be the job for you, right? Like I see it in coaching all the time.
Yeah.
Right. How many people don't show up to calls that they have booked? Right? That they set appointments for, that they calendar, that they subscribe to, and they still don't show up.
Or they show up late.
Or they show up late, like I did today on this podcast.
That was an inside joke, and I was going to point it out. I wanted to see his reaction. Because
I was on a coaching call, you guys. So, hey, I'm sorry, Daniel. I'll make it up to you on our next deal, bro.
It was all jokes. It was all jokes. Like I want to see your reaction to it because I want to see if you can.
Oh, that's cool, man. You can throw me under the bus, bro. I got more spare tires.
So I'll apologize on that one because I wanted to see it.
It's all good, bro. It's all good fun.
Oh man, I'm not mad about it at all either. This is going to be funny later for everybody listening.
Yeah. He was late. I hope they get a kick out of it. 100%.
I called him out on it and he's like, yes, I was late to the meeting.
So, see, I'm accountable, man. I'll take responsibility for myself.
And like I said, this was not scripted at all. That was 100%. I called him out on it and he took accountability for it. So so back to the episode. No, I think it's an underrated topic for sure. I'm excited. I'm a very bad reader. I'm a very bad reader. I don't find time to read. I listen to a lot of stuff and maybe that's probably audiobooks. I hope you put yourself in audiobooks. Maybe I'll get around to doing that way.
It's coming. The audiobook for The Startup Agent is coming. Should be done in the next, I don't know, probably month or so. And then the other ones will follow.
Okay, good. So for everybody listening, books might not be your thing, but hopefully you can at least get through audiobooks. So
I tell
everybody that writes a book, please put it in audiobook form because I'll never read it.
Yeah, I agree. I listen to audiobooks, man. That's all I listen to. So I'm right there with you.
That's just me being 100% accountable. I'll never read it. So please put it in audiobook for everybody like me.
I won't send you a signed copy then, bro.
I don't even have a bookshelf. So I don't know where it would end up. I have books on my desk that I attempted to read.
Paperweights.
Exactly. They're paperweights 100%. It's a thought that counts, I guess. It's a thought that counts. this is such a good episode. I enjoy it already. Let's talk about the podcast. When did you start the podcast? How many episodes you're in it? I love interviewing podcasters because you get different perspectives. And I was on your podcast recently. I don't know when you released it. I don't even know when we did that. So that's how bad I am.
No, I just deleted that episode.
just deleted the episode. See, that's what I just did. But we're not talking about that.
Yeah, so the Agent Podcast. I started that in September of 2021, I believe. Awesome. I've recorded 150 episodes. I've only released 84, I believe. I think yours will actually be 85 or 86. I started that because I really enjoyed my group coaching calls that I was having with real estate agents. And I decided that a lot of these conversations need to be available to the public for people to listen to. So I started asking various people I met, coaching clients, real estate experts, you know, top performers, like, hey, will you join me for 60 minutes on a Zoom? And let's kind of break down your business. And the reality is I didn't have a plan. I had no idea where it would go. I knew I wanted to focus on real estate as a niche to serve because it was underserved by most agents understanding that they're actually a business and in most cases, a startup business. And then to follow that up, most of my conversations are like 80% growth and personal development and 20% real estate.
Yeah.
Right. Because we're people and people both have and create problems. And it's how we solve them that makes us usually good or bad at our job or whatever we're trying to do to serve the masses, the public. Whether you're a real estate agent, a mortgage broker, real estate investor, somebody who buys and holds, it doesn't matter, right? And that's where the podcast came from. It's by far my favorite thing I do is this. Meet people, have awesome conversations, you know, have a good time, throw each other under the bus, make fun of each other, and get those episodes out there for other people to hear to make an impact, right? Because the reward was evident when I started getting messages from people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and telling me that, and that's what inspired me to write the book, to be honest, is the messages from people saying, oh my God, that episode did A, B, and C, or I love the way that you explained this. And it's, Daniel, it's funny, man, because I was always being a product creator. Like I was in the back of the movie set, right? Like I was the director. I was never the actor. I was always somewhere between marketing and engineering in the background. And now it's completely flipped. And that took me a while to like change my personality to do that, to get in front of the camera, right? To be myself, to release that authentic side of me in public. And literally like all my socials are public, man. Like anybody can see them or view them or message me. And that took me a while to like swallow and accept and realize that, okay, I'm doing this, like I'm committing and I'm doing it. But I'm so grateful I did because the amount of people that I've been able to meet, impact and help and the partnerships I've built just over the last 18 months are incredible. And if I would have been doing this for the last 5 years, let alone 10 or 15 or 20 years, oh my God, sky would be the limit.
So let's do a selfless plug. What's it called? Where can people find it?
The Agent Podcast. You can find it on the agents with an S podcast.com or on any of all the major platforms, Apple, Google Play, Spotify. You'll find it there. You can search the name or just search my name and it'll come up.
And that's Raymond
Scholl Seth.
Scholl Seth.
Raymond Scholl Seth. S-J-O-L-S-E-T-H.
I wanted to say it out there because some people are listening and they're not watching. So if I put it up on the screen, they don't see it. So we gotta we gotta think about the audience that listens to it too. Yeah. Raymond Scholl Seth.
Yeah, what you said.
What I said. No, I love the mission about it. And I like I said, I commend people for just starting podcasts. And like I said, I resonate with podcasts a lot because, I mean, we're doing this for fun. Most of the time we're doing it without any monetary value for the first 2 years, 3 years, especially charting 21. You're probably not making any money off of it. make a couple sales in the book, and I'm sure it does all right. But it's not, you don't make millions of dollars off of it right now. You know, it's just a mission.
It's a mission and it's also my way to pay it forward, right? 100%. And it's also my way to create content and put it out there, right? Because same reason we're here, we can do this long form audio video, chop it up, share it across platforms. And that's how I get my message out there. That's how I impact people. That's how I share other people's messages, most importantly, that are trying to impact people.
Yeah.
And like that commitment is real. Right. But it's a commitment that I made.
Yeah. I had a meeting today that was not unscripted, but it was they literally messaged me today and like, oh, I just listened to the episode you were on. And that's the cool things that happen on the background, that
yeah,
you just gotta meet cool new people and you don't know where traffic is going to come from. And I guessed on a lot of shows just because different audience, you know, but you probably have audience that I'll never reach. And I have audience that you'll never reach. But when you swap podcasts, you kind of affect both sides of it. And you don't know who's going to listen and when they're going to listen, whether it's tomorrow or when I release it or 10 years from now, who knows?
Yeah, it's true. You don't.
Who knows? So 180 episodes, 150, you said 150, I'm on 160 episodes. Episode I'm on is 160, but that's even hitting 100 episodes. I commend you for hitting that. It's just being consistent. Thanks, everybody here, if you want to start a podcast, go start it. Be consistent with it. Don't expect results for 2 to 5 years. If you have ad money, throw it at it, but might not get ready results for it for a while. And like I said, it's just being your authentic self, providing value to the marketplace in your own free way and reaching the masses. One of the cool things that I like about the podcast is that we're reaching people from other countries. Mm-hmm. Like people I would never in my mind have a conversation about real estate or mindset or health or whatever. You're reaching people in other countries. And that was the epiphany for me, because it was never about that, but it's kind of cool.
Well, yeah. I think what's cool too is that when you start to put out content, whether you want to or not, you start to build a personal brand. And the more content you put out, the more of a personal brand you build. And the more of a personal brand you build over time, you create authority in whatever space or niche that you're servicing. So when clients or other people, right, search for me and they see that, oh, here's his public Facebook profile, and oh, he has these podcasts, and he has this, and he has that, or hey, he has a whole like a biography on Amazon. And by the way, my RSS feed, I put in the blog of Amazon for my author page, and all my podcasts show up on Amazon. All that stuff is amazing to have out there. And honestly, like, I'm super proud of myself for showing up and being consistent and doing it. But it also gave me, I don't know, just a different confidence that maybe I wouldn't have had if I wouldn't have done it, right? And it also helped me talk to more people and diversify my skill set too, and become a better speaker and become more impactful to people. And the number one thing that I've gotten from podcasting, honestly, is it helped me move past being afraid asking for help, right? Because now I'm meeting amazing people that are way further than where I am, and they're doing things way smarter than I've done in less time. And I can listen to their stories and they can share resources, right? And now we can build together in some cases too. And yeah, that's just amazing, right? Like, that's what it's about, man.
So I'm going to, one of the other takeaways that us as podcast hosts get is you get a lot of nuggets from your guest. So yeah, can you tell me, since you're the host, you already know the nuggets, can you give me like maybe 5 top things that go straight to your mind that you learned from your host, from your guest? If you have that many that you can think of offhand. I know it's kind of an unscripted question.
No, I mean, I think a lot of it honestly is inspiration for some of these books that I've written, right? So one is that you go to real estate school, you get your license, and there's zero framework for business. All you do is learn how to get your license. Just like in college, you just learn how to get a degree and then that's it. You don't learn how to work for the job or, you know, necessarily be put in that role. So when I wrote The Startup Agent, that was me taking all my failures and successes over 30 years and saying, hey, if I was a real estate agent today and I knew nothing, what would I need to know to jumpstart my business, right? So I've been able to take frameworks from my experience, but then also bring in experiences, things like mindset, things like branding, things like all the different ways to lead generate, like things like what a systems really mean. Like a lot of people think, oh, I have a CRM or I have a sales funnel and that's a system. No, the system is what you're actually doing every day. Those things are just tools to help you manage the system, right? Yep. So being able to absorb all this information and learn things that either I didn't know or maybe I never thought of in a specific way, and then dispel it through the podcast into, you know, episodes or clips or into now books, that's been amazing to be able to pay that forward, right? So I don't know. Those are some of the things that come to mind. Consistency, right? Like being able to be consistent. Like it doesn't, you don't necessarily have to work 80 hours a week on your business. You can work 20 hours a week on your business. And if you're doing the right things, you can have one hell of a business, but you got to commit to doing those right things. Right. So out of that, for me, came something I call the success cycle, which is, okay, if you do these five things, 20 hours a week in your business, you will have an unbelievable business, but you have to do these five things. So can you show up for 4 hours, 5 days a week to do these things? Right. And those things are lead generation, set an appointment, add people to your database /CRM, attend an appointment, and create a piece of content. If you can just do those five things 5 days a week, you'll have an unbelievable business, but you have to do those five things.
Right? What I like about the create content one is always, it's a big one for me. Like, this is what I do. I did a podcast the other day. And they're like, where's your passion at? Like, is it land? Is it whatever? I'm like, dude, this is what I do. This is my passion right now. Like, this is the passion, because the land deals, I mean, I might do a land deal and sell it, but it's gone. It's gone after that. You might make a good check off of it too, but it's gone. It's done with. It's over. But the content, that's where you dig into a lot of the bonus side of it, because it shows and connects with people at a different level.
Yeah. And I do a lot of work on myself. Like I wake up at 4:30 in the morning, dude. I throw in my AirPods, right? I'll grab my phone. And the first thing I do is listen to something to learn, right? It could be an audiobook. It could be a podcast. It could be a YouTube video. And it's my goal that if I'm looking at a 0 to 100% input of whatever I'm consuming, 80% of it is education and only 20% of entertainment, right? So I may listen to 4 or 5 hours of audio a day between audiobooks, YouTube videos, taking a course, whatever it is. Yeah. And I have 5 kids, man, right? So doing that, but then, you know, my wife likes TV, right? So we'll watch a show while going to bed. So, okay, an hour, hour and a half, whatever it is. She usually falls asleep anyway, right? So whatever, I shut the TV off, put back in my AirPods or whatever. And that's important to me though, right? Because I'm focused on my future self. Where is Ray 10 years from now? And what do I have to do today to think bigger and make the decisions about where I'm going to be 10 years from now, right? Because if I make decisions from that place, that's how I'm going to think, act, and feel. And if I think, act, and feel of the Ray 10 years from now, then I'm going to get there not only faster, but I'm going to be less distracted with all the other BS.
That is a lot of time spent to education per day.
Yeah, man.
4 to 5 hours. That's a long time.
I have big goals. I have big stuff I want to do, and I don't know how to do it all, but there's other people that do. Right.
So there's I made a tweet the other day, and it says the biggest cost in business that everyone makes is what they don't know.
100%.
Ooh. When I tweeted that, I was like,
whew. Yeah, mic drop.
Yeah. And this is where, like, I don't knock anything, but like, there's levels to business, levels to real estate, there's levels to everything. So like people, like I said, I'm not knocking this if you are, but people might think changing a tire for 8 hours a day is a good business model. It could be, but do you have employees? How many locations do you have? Are you physically doing it yourself? Then you get amplification by having other people doing it and having a team in place, having systems in place to manage and actually do that effort for you. And then it comes down to, I think, and this is the epiphany for us, is like, yes, you can grow by teams and systems and locations, but can you grow by actually deal sizes and utilization of that time in that time to produce a certain amount of result? And that's where we kind of came up with the epiphany of like, hey, if I needed to produce a larger result, I need to focus on larger things. And billionaires focus on billionaire problems because they're trying to make that billion again faster. So if you're trying to make a lot of money in a short amount of time span, you need to focus on larger result solutions.
Well, it's 10X thinking. There's an amazing author who I've learned a lot from over the last couple of years called Benjamin Hardy. He wrote a book called Who Not How, another book called The Gap and the Gain. And I think in May, his 10X versus 2X releases.
Ooh, and that's a shots fired right there.
Yeah. And that is... like that is a lot of where I'm going, right? Like I know if I want different results, I have to think differently. And like my intake, I can listen to whatever, a book a day 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 hours of audio. But if I'm not doing anything with it, it doesn't matter. Then it's just passive.
That's why I like your 5 steps of action, because 4 of those steps are action based.
Yep.
And that's important.
Yeah. It's extremely important. Like, you have to get a result somehow, and you get a result by taking action. Now, it can be inspired action, right? Like, I grew up in a very blue collar household, very scarce household, very poor money mindset household. And I've worked hard to change that thinking. And there's been times where I thought I had it handled, only to realize I didn't, right? Like, I still had things I need to fix and work on. Mm-hmm. And that's some of why I took a good look at myself and how I had to pivot when COVID hit and the changes I wanted to make, and started asking myself some really difficult questions, you know? And as I got deeper and deeper into the podcast, I started realizing that I can have these amazing conversations. I can build these amazing partnerships. I can create this amazing network, all while helping people, while impacting people, while people also wanting to help and impact me. And that's helped me completely change the game of where I'm trying to go at scale for the future that I want for my family and I.
Inspirational, man. That's dope. And I think it all stems from just you being open to other ideas. And this is another one too, is to stay curious. The curiosity, a lot of people that get stuck in the rut of maybe it's their job, maybe it's their business, maybe it's that one type of thing they do is singly in their business. And I think a lot of, like, not trying to pick on any asset class, but like you and your job, and this is for every level, we're gonna start at basic. You and your job might get stuck in your job rut where you're not thinking of opportunity and curiosity of what things can be done. And then you might start entrepreneurship, and you might start do that one thing, and you think that that's okay, and that's the one thing to do. And you have to keep stepping up in that and pivoting and learning and exercising that information, maybe get you to the next step. Because a lot of people, like, how many flippers, you know, have been flippers for 20 years?
Yeah.
You know, and not trying to knock it. I'm sure they made a lot of great money, but at what point do you stay curious and maybe look for another opportunity or see what else is out there instead of, I don't know. Me, it's a personal thing. I've gotten to where I've gotten in such a short amount of time because I've always been curious. And I'll continue to be curious. And a lot of people think, like, where are you going to be in 5 years? I'm like, I have no idea. My curiosity is always going to be there. And I'm always looking for the next step to level up. And a lot of people think you can, the best way to make a lot of money is to do the same things over consistently. Yes, it'll get you there. But at what time frame? At what time frame will it get you there? So in my head, I'm thinking, if I can learn a strategy or something I would never have learned anywhere else, and I can shorten their 10, 20 years of experience into one, and I do that for 1 year and I got it, I know I can always fall back to that one thing and do that for 30 years just like they did. But if I can grow, and who's their mentor that they're looking at now, and get that absorption, now I can have 30, 60, 90 years of amplification that you can never reach in your own lifespan in 5 years.
I just had this conversation with somebody a few days ago. Really? And the analogy that I gave him was this. My 8-year-old boy is obsessed with this game, Roblox. Okay.
Okay.
And in Roblox, you can play all these other different games. But this one specific game is called Bed Wars. And the object of the game is to go and destroy the competitor's bed. Like, you break their bed and they die. That's it, right?
Okay.
So, like, I'm playing this game with him, and he's just, like, always kicking my ass, dude, right? Like, handing to me. And I'm like, dude, there is no way we're both starting at zero and you can ramp up this fast and you have all this inventory and these special swords and these oil bombs and all of this crap. And I'm like, show me. He's like, I'm not doing anything. I'm like, dude, you are lying. Show me. So he goes in the chat and types in, like, /GM1, and this whole other menu opens up where you don't have to work for anything. You can just grab all the loot that you want. So that's what he was doing. So once he taught me that, it was on, right? Now I'm blowing up his bed. We're building walls, sorting, killing each other. But it's true, right? Like, you, going back to what you said, like, you don't know what you don't know. So if you stay curious and you can ask people and you're open to learn and open to change and you're coachable, you can go from here to there, you know, in a very, very short time. You just got to ask the right questions and be open. Mm-hmm. Right. And there was a quote, I don't remember who said it, but it was something to the effect of, be less judgmental and be more curious and watch your life change. And that is so true, man, right? Like, instead of judging somebody else for what they're doing or their choices or what they're creating, what if you asked, like, that's interesting. I wonder why they chose that, right? Like, what is it that you don't know that caused them to make that choice? And it becomes very interesting when you approach the world with that mind, right?
The curiosity, and I think it's, and this is where, like, Elon Musk becoming the richest person in the world, and he's under 50, like, people, like, if you saved 2 million Starbucks that you'll never buy, you can become a billionaire just like Elon Musk. Like, they flipped the analogy of saving to wealth. I'm like, that's not really saving to wealth. It's staying curious and finding a niche in the marketplace that takes your business to another level.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole nother discussion, right? Like, that's a lack of abundance mindset, right? Like, yeah. There's a book that talks about that, right? The latte factor or whatever it's called. And it talks about saving $5 a day and all that. And yeah, I agree with you. I don't agree with that method. I think that there's unlimited abundance, mm-hmm. and you have to go and get it. And there's lots of ways to go and get it, but it is a game of learning. It's a game of failing. It's a game of patience. It's a game of working with other people and building relationships to help each other.
100%. It's crazy how much time you can shortcut by finding a mentor.
Yep.
That is where you want to be.
Yep.
Is where you want to be. And it's one of those things where, like, a lot of people, they walk around life like the horse with the blinders on, and they never see anything but what's right in front of them. And this is where, like, for everybody here, for me, it was when I was able to leave my job, and you just see opportunity everywhere. But then it's like, what opportunity do I go after? You're chasing the ball that just flies and bounces off each wall in every direction and every surface. And you have to find and focus on what's going to produce results now, and then kind of figure out and stay curious and focus on the next thing.
Well, it's being able to, like, determine your niche, right? So, like, okay, yeah. I want to be in real estate. Okay, well, what do you want to do in real estate? I want to do land. Okay, what kind of land do you want to do?
Outside of land, exactly.
Right?
So many opportunity in that. And this is crazy. So many facets of the business in every sub-niche and sub-niche and up-sub-niche, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the cool thing about real estate is that you can build whatever you want. The bad thing about real estate is you can build whatever you want. So you have to figure out what you want to build.
Yep. There you go. That's 100% true. 100% true. And people, and like I said, agents think it's the agents is the way to go, but it might be something else to do with agents. And I think you're trying to finding your niche is, like, I want to help educate agents to do all the right things to succeed.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's true. That's what I want to do. Like, the 87% failure rate for real estate agents is ridiculous. It doesn't have to be that way.
That is
so ridiculous. If I can make an impact on that, right? If I could get it down to 82%. Or 78%.
That's meaningful somewhere.
It's meaningful. Yeah. Like, it's meaningful. That's a lot of people. Dude, there's like 2 million agents just in North America or the United States. I don't remember which one. But 2 million agents, like, making a difference with 1% of that or 2% of that is a big deal. It's a lot of people.
It's a lot of push. It's a lot of effort. A lot of change.
Yeah.
And any small change in a large battle is significant.
Right.
It's huge. So let's talk a little about real estate. I know we're hitting 40 minutes now, but let's talk about a little about real estate. I think we got lost in the weeds. I like the weeds too, but let's cover real estate since this is a real estate show. What are you doing now, and what are you looking for now in the Chicago market or other markets if you're in other markets?
So my wife and I are working on building a very small team, literally just a handful of people to work with us here in Chicago to build what I call the front end of the business. And then there's kind of like three elements in my world, my next 10 years, right? My wife and I's team here in Chicago, podcast, content, books, coaching, all that type of stuff. And then building a 5,000 unit multifamily portfolio over the next 10 years.
Ooh, that's a lot of units.
It's going to be a lot of units, and, you know, like, it's, some would say, oh, that's a pipe dream, but it's not. It's just 500 units a year, or 250 units every 6 months, or 125 units every 3 months, right? And it's putting that together, and I'm not doing that alone. That's going to be partnerships and people and relationships and all these different things happening over time. won't happen at once. But
so since you have a big unit goal to get there, how are you raising money?
That I don't know the answer yet is the truth.
It's a good answer.
No, it's the truth. It will be people and partnerships when they're right. Right. Okay. Like I recently set that goal, worked backwards from it, know what I need to do. Now I'm in the process of building the foundation to do that, but it's definitely going to take a while. And it will be one of those things where it may be slow to get momentum and then it'll start to gain some traction.
So I have a tip for this. And like I said, I comment a lot of this on Twitter because Twitter is like my mainstream media that I consume lately these days. So somebody on Twitter is like the hack to private funding is cigar bars and a high ticket gym. You'll meet high net worth people. So yep. I comment underneath of it that I hacked this, and the hack is to find people that their number one job is to source capital, and that's the hack.
No, it's true, 100%.
Like I don't want to raise capital anymore where I'm at. I'd rather work with people that are already raising capital and will deploy their capital that they've raised.
I like it. I like it.
So that's my advice to you. If you don't know where you're, and I think you kind of answered that too. You've realized that as well, is you need to find a who that's going to raise the capital versus you raising it yourself.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And I don't need to do it all myself, right? Like I can jump into joint ventures or partnerships or syndications or whatever they are that make sense over time.
Over time.
Yeah.
It's a cool goal when you hit it. I hope you hit it sooner than 10 years because a lot of people, I think they limit themselves by unlimiting beliefs, but I think you hit it right in the head. You're like, maybe we'll do it. A lot of people think I will hit it, but I'm going to hit it. Like it's not a limiting belief for you, but it might be a limiting belief for somebody else that's listening to this.
Well, that came from contrast, right? Like I've had smaller multifamily portfolios. I've had single family portfolios. I've had like commercial mixed use buildings. I don't want that anymore. I don't. Like, I just don't want any part of it. Just give me a handful of multifamily buildings performing with the right people that just kick off cash and are an asset on my balance sheet, and I'm good.
The show is sponsored by The List Guys. Do you need more leads in your local or virtual market? 1 in 10 small businesses don't invest in any kind of marketing. The List Guys have over 35 plus list types to choose from, and you can mix and match any list or criteria. We also use the Skip Trace list and provide up to 7 numbers and email addresses. Every list you purchase will be scrubbed against previous purchases. The List Guys are here to save you time. Contact The List Guys today at www.1listguys.com. That's www.1listguys.com.
This might be a fun segment. What type of assets don't you want? And I'm going to say if I agree with you or not. Go.
What type of assets don't I don't want? Stocks.
I'm with you.
I'm not sure how I feel about crypto because I think it's worse than playing the stock game right now, even though it may be the same thing. I'm very ignorant on crypto.
I'm on the fence with that one. Okay.
I don't want to own Airbnbs.
I'm good with that one too.
I don't want to lease anybody my car or rent out my car.
I've done that. I'm good on that one too.
Yeah. The only asset I want is real estate, which is why I'm here and making the decisions I'm making. That's the truth.
It's just funny because like me, everybody's like, I want 50 doors. I'm like, I don't even want any doors. But at least you're specific. I want 5,000 multifamily units. And that's the goal.
Right? Yeah, but I mean, it can be 2,500 unit buildings. Like, that's fine, right?
Are there
like,
2,500 unit buildings out there?
Oh, I have no idea.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I don't. If so, probably not in this country is the truth. But, you know, maybe in some other countries.
Maybe in Iraq.
Yeah.
There we go. That sounds like a 2,500 unit building.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of opportunities. I don't claim to know it all. I know I don't know it all. But contrast has shown me what I don't want, right? Like, I don't want a bunch of single family properties to manage and own. And I know I could hire people and hire teams or property management.
It's not for you.
It's just not what I want anymore. I want something different. And I want something that is scalable on another level that I can leave to my kids, right?
There you go. So where can people find you online?
My website, RaymondSholseth.com, RaymondSjolseth.org. Just Google my name and find me. I'll come up first. My website always does.
Well, it's because you have a very unique name.
Yeah, SEO 101, bro.
Like, my name's Martinez. I have to fight somebody. There's a bicyclist named Dana Martinez. I have to fight him for his SEO. We're boxing right now in SEO land.
Yeah, it's pay to play, man.
Raymond Soldier. <Soljo. laughs> This went longer than I expected, but I hope you all learned something today. Stay curious, make big goals, and just survive long enough to get there.
Thank you guys for listening.
Yeah. Appreciate everybody listening today. I hope you learned a lot today. Please go to Raymond's website below or in the link. Go check it out. We'll see you on the next episode. Thanks for tuning in. Go like, share it with the friends. Go subscribe. Do all the things you already know how to do. I ain't going to ask you. Bye, guys.
Hey, guys. We hope you're enjoying this content. If you have leads that you need to dispo anywhere in the country, please visit HiveBC.io, like HiveBuyersClub.io, and we'll help you move those deals that you need to get into the marketplace.